Thank you so much for joining us. It's June 14th, 2022, Yuvan Tefshin Pei Beis, and we're on a journey toward our destination, a very lofty goal of Simcha. And serving Hashem as Simcha, we know, is the product, the fruits of our labor when we start with Emunah and Bitachon. So we're just going to reiterate, as when you're on a trip, once in a while, you remind yourself, what is my destination again? And how far am I? Like, you are here. So I think we just want to talk about one more time, and we'll do it repeatedly probably over the next few weeks or months. Where are we headed? We're headed towards Simcha, and we're going to repeat the pasuk in Mishle and the Vilna Gaon explanation because it bears repetition. Ruach ish yichal kel machaleihu, Mishle Yudches, pasuk Yedalot. The spirit of a person will support his illness. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to support his illness. It will sustain him through his illness. That is what the Mefarshim explained. It will cause him to make it through. Beruach necheya mi yisaena. But a spirit of sadness, who will be able to bear an ailment with that type of attitude? Let us just review the Vilna Gaon's explanation. Ruach ish. The Vilna Gaon explained. Hasimcha ba al yidei haruach. Joy comes through the person's spirit. The person's internal power. There are many people right now, 80,000 people, have no power right now. In this place that I'm sitting in Cincinnati, Baruch Hashem, it's cool where we're sitting. We're sitting with a place with electricity. But you know what? Power doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. And we do have the power. We have that ruach. And that ruach is what causes us to be able to make it through everything. And the Vilna Gaon explains, Kisha ish tamid besimcha. When a person is constantly in joy, he will be able to survive through any challenge. And we know there are not just physical challenges and illnesses. There are mental ones, psychological ones also, psychiatric ones. And we can definitely navigate through some of them, and we can do the best we can at least by fostering this mida of simcha. And the Vilna Gaon continues, and you might have heard this before, but it always needs to be repeated. Av shetavo olav machla chas v'shalom. Even if there's an illness that a person is suffering, chas v'shalom, hu yichal kel machaleihu, what does that mean, the Vilna Gaon says? Besimchaso yivatlena. He can nullify it. He can negate it through his joy. Literally. He can obliterate that illness. But a person who has a downtrodden spirit, now the Gra tells us, who itzavon. When the person is down, this is a lashon of itzavon, of sadness. Mi yisa'ana, who would be able to bear this illness the person has? Mi yochol lisa esdos, who could actually tolerate and endure this? But you should know that in the notes at the bottom, in this Gra on Mishle, it says that the ruach itzavon, the spirit of sadness, which is antithetical to simcha, in the Ksav Yad, in the manuscripts of the Vilna Gaon, it says, V'hu ruach yira shehu itzava. The spirit of fear. It's an attitude of trepidation, anxiety, which is synonymous with sadness and depression and despair. So fear and depression and anxiety, they're in the same category, according to the Gra. But a person can actually persevere through all of it with simcha. We're repeating this because this is our goal and our destination. We're on a journey towards simcha. And of course, in the parsha that just passed, is one of the most noteworthy psukim in the Torah about simcha. Notice that it talks about the Levim working in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And in Perek Dalad, Pasuk Mem Zayin, in Parshas Noso, it says what seems to be a very superfluous terminology, La'avod Avodas avoda, to serve the service of a service, to perform the work of a work. That sounds really repetitive. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Rishon, says, what is this about? What's the avodas avoda, the service to another service? What is that? The Gemara says, Zehashir. And again, we've spoken about this before, but we just came through Parshas Naso, so now is the time to mention it again. This refers to music. It's singing. Shir, Shehoya Avoda, Avoda Acheris, the song itself is an Avoda to Hashem, but it's actually attached to another Avoda, the Karbanos. When we bring Karbanos, there has to be Simcha accompanying it. They have to be infused with joy. Otherwise, it's just a tasteless type of work. and it doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to. There has to be shear. And I also mentioned, maybe the first time you learned, that shear is a requirement according to the Gemara. Our lives have to have music in them. If there's no music, then we're lacking from our Avodas Hashem. It doesn't mean we have to be jumping and singing and dancing every second, but there has to be music. A life with no music is a life without simcha, is a life without Avodas Hashem. Rabbeinu Bachaya mentions this here, it's the karbanos. And then he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Yivdvas Hashem b'simcha. Pasuk in Tehillim, Parakuk. You have to serve Hashem with joy. Rabbeinu Bachaya quotes that pasuk in conjunction with La'avod Avodas Avoda, that you're supposed to perform the service of another service in the Mishkan. The Levim are the model for everybody how to serve Hashem with karbanos. By the way, karbanos isn't just animal sacrifices, we know that. It's self-sacrifice. Whenever we sacrifice our time and our energy and our money and our emotions, what do I mean sacrifice? When we dedicate ourselves and devote ourselves to Hashem, to our family, to our Avodas Hashem, that's karbanos. That's all offering. That's all service of Hashem, sacrifices. So if you would take this and apply it to that type of carbon, that also has to be besimcha. La'avod, avodas, avod. There has to be song together with the karbanos. We know in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a duchen. You know about the duchen? The platform. There was a platform in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was like a stage. And every day, there was an orchestra in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single day. Shabbat, Yom Tov. It was Doche, Shabbos, and Yom Tov. There was music every single day. We don't say, we're not going to play music. No, it says Ein Shpus B'Mikdash. It was something absolutely required for the Karbanos. Now, there was one type of music that does not happen on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that's just the one that was for a week, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Okay, that was the absolute ecstasy and joy during Sukkot. Now that, it says, that's the shir of the Beis HaShoeva, She'en Doche, Zeu Echalil Shal Beis HaShoeva, She'en Doche, Lo Se Shabbos, Lo Se Yom Tov. So for that 1 week, the special, even larger number of musical instruments and that big orchestra and singers, that was not Doche Shabbos. It wasn't done on Shabbos and Yom Tov during that 1 week of Sukkot. It was only during the week that were the days that were not Shabbos and Yom Tov. But the rest of the year, every single day, day in and day out, and week in and week out, every single day there was music in the Beis HaMikdash. Why does there have to be music every single day? Because when there are karbanos, there has to be joy. And that's our daily karbanos also, our dedication. Without it, it's missing. It's missing an important segment of it, an essential part, a piece. And comes along Rabbeinu Bachaya and Parshas Naso and says, "Upasik malehu." There's a full, explicit verse in the Torah, "Shekori avoda lashir." It says song is an avoda. "Hushakasu v'divrayom." It says "Hameshorim," the musicians, "Bnei Asaf al mamadam." Those are the Levim. Some of the Levim on their place where they stood. Ein lahem lasur me'al avodasam. They cannot move away from their service. What is the service? They are meshorim, they're musicians. So we have to know that we're headed toward a goal of music. We have to be able to sing, maybe not every second, but that has to be part of our lives. Hashir hazeh hoyabit kinoros amitzlasayim. It was with harps, it was with percussion, with cymbals. It's described in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos. They would say songs of praise to Hashem at the time of the karp. It might be that every single time we start, we might talk a little bit about simcha, because simcha is where we're headed. As the Sfarim say, we start with emuna, and then we have bitachon, and bitachon leads to simcha. And that's why we have to remind ourselves all the time, what's our destination? Now we're going to get back to the topic of bitachon, which is the main topic at hand, and we were talking about David HaMelech. We know that the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer, Machaneh Yisrael, where he speaks to the soldiers on the battlefield, but as he himself says, and also it is said in Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah says it, it talks about the challenges and the things that face us in life each day, the difficulties, the setbacks. We're not supposed to be afraid. And the more bitachon we have, the greater is the Yeshua. Everything is mida k'neged mida. We said last time that David had gone on a bizarre journey with his men together with Achish, the king of Gath. And we'll just explain it very quickly in a nutshell what happened. He had been given this city by Achish, who was the king of the Plishtim, because he had nowhere to run, because Saul was after him, so he was stuck. So he had to go to somewhere, so he went to the Plishtim, and Achish trusted that David had like a fallout with Saul, his father-in-law, and with Bnei Yisrael. So David was a really good actor. So he was given the city of Siklag, and Achish, the king of Gath, said, okay, you guys stay here and, you know, just do your thing. But inevitably, the day came when, once again, the Pelishtim were ready to fight the Bnei Yisrael on the battlefield. And you know the story already, what happened. So David's like, says to himself, I'm sure, I don't know, if I stay here, then he's going to know that I'm a traitor to him. And of course, I'm not aligned with Achish. I'm not a sympathizer of the Pelishtim, but I have to make it look like I am to save myself from Shaul, who's trying to kill me. So if I don't go to battle against Shaul, then Achish is going to suspect me that I am not loyal to him, and then maybe he'll kill me. So I have to at least go through the motions of leaving with him to the battlefield. Now that itself is a huge lesson in Bitachon. I don't know how it's going to be in an hour. I don't know tomorrow, but I know right now this is what I have to do. So we're dealing with many factors. Sometimes our head is full of all types of anxiety, like, well, what about later? What about tomorrow? So we have a lesson from David HaMelech. Right now, what am I supposed to do? Okay, I don't know about in 10 minutes from now. This is what I have to do now. I have to go now. So he picks up and he goes, because right now he has to play the game. He has to look like he's together with Achish. Making sense? We know the story. We've gone through it in case anybody wasn't up to it. As he's away, then the miracle happens. You know, the nace happens. And suddenly Achish's generals say, who's that guy with us? This guy, David, from the Jews. Wait, I know he's like loyal to our king, but maybe he won't be on the battlefield. Maybe he'll turn around and he'll go against us. And he's like the greatest warrior, one of the greatest we ever heard of. So we don't want him with us on the battlefield. He's going to go against his father-in-law and against the Jews, and maybe he'll turn on their side. And then we're all dead. So they went to Achish, the king, and said, can you please send this guy back? We're a little bit nervous about him being here. Now, what is that for David? That's an open miracle for David. Because if he wasn't sent back, then he would be faced with the absolutely horrible dilemma about what to do on the battlefield. And if that would happen, then, as the man Louis says, he didn't think that he's going to make it home. He doesn't think there's a chance for him to make it home, because who knows what's going to happen to him on the battlefield. If he sees, you know, he doesn't want to pull the trigger against his father-in-law, against the Yidden. On the other hand, he can't do it against Achish, because then everybody's going to want to kill him. So what's he supposed to do? So the miracle happens. Oh, what a beautiful nace! He gets dismissed. It's like you get dismissed early. Like at school, right? Oh, that's a great surprise. You get to go home. This is way more intense than that. Oh, we're saved. Everything is beautiful. On the top of the world. Everything's perfect. Party, beautiful. And his men are coming home with him, and he's like, Hashem is with him. It's a great miracle. Comes home. What does he find? The whole city is burned to the ground. A Pelishti marauding band had come, burnt the place to the ground, led the women away in captivity. Oh, I made a mistake. It was Amalekim. Thanks for remembering that. I'm trying to get the time back on here. I'm sorry. We have some technical difficulties. We are not where we usually are. I need to know what. Yeah. So we're in a different location today because of the blackout. So yeah, no, it was an Amaleki band. I don't know what I said before. An Amaleki band came along, and they Amalekim. Picture them as terrorists, right? Terrorists par excellence. So the men come back. David and his men come back. They're always loyal to David. He has this band of men who are with him, Jewish comrades, and they find the place burned to the ground. Thank you so much. And there's nobody there. It's empty. It's a burnt ruin. The wives were led away, and the children were gone. And what does the person think at that second? Chas v'shalom, the worst. They're probably all dead. They don't know that the Amalekim will attack them, but this is not a very lawful, necessarily orderly society, especially out there in the middle of everything. So they think the worst, probably. In fact, that's what we were talking about. Says Vatesha the David Ma'od. He was extremely anguished when he came back. Now, the man Lois points out, and we spoke about this inside, we got it to this point in the Pesukim. This is what we're up to now. So the man Lois points out something, a very sharp point. Sheha'am kas Allah. They were angry at him. His popularity plummeted right now. Now he wasn't popular anymore among his men. Why? He's very anguished. He's in despair. He is pained. Why? Because he's distressed because they're angry at him. He's not popular anymore. They're upset at him as men. Happens to many people. It happens to us all the time. People are angry at me. I made an unpopular decision. Are there ever any decisions in life we make that whichever decision we make, someone's going to be angry at us? Does that ever happen? I think so, especially with people in any leadership position. Could be even a parent, it could be a teacher, it could be whoever. Well, let's think about it now. There's a backtrack. Okay. When it was time to go, did he have a choice? Did he have to go? I think he had to go, because if he didn't go, he would be dead on the spot. Okay, just think, you don't want to go with me? What, I thought you were my, you know, I thought you were my ally. So he had to go. But now that he went, now they're angry at him because he comes back and they find this horrible tragedy had gone, that everyone was gone and the place was burnt down. It says that his, now remember, he had his loyal group of soldiers and men who were with him. He had these people who were with him all the time in Siklag, and they're the ones who are angry at him. So usually, you know, he's in good standing with them, and now they're, so it says that Tetzer, that this is a normal thing. So you see, he's a giant of a human being, the people in Tanakh, we cannot be mamasik how great they are, but as we know, Tanakh is here for a reason. These are human things that happen to them. So if people are angry at him, that's, it's legitimate, it's to be expected, that that's going to cause him distress. And they were feeling, Goram li snatlus ha-malekim al-siklug. The fact that he said, he's at fault that the place was attacked and leveled, because he said we should all go, and they left it unguarded. I mean, think about it, by the way. They left the women there, and they left the sons and daughters. That's what it said. Okay. They didn't even leave anybody protecting the place. I cannot imagine that was a very popular decision when they came back and found that that's how it looked. And then it says, Kimura nefesh kohav. Now, we mentioned this also. People were very bitter about their sons and daughters. Now, who remembers last time? Why did it not mention that they were embittered about the wives? The wives were gone. What about that? It doesn't say that. What was the reason? Anybody remember? Because they made a calculation. Ready? Again, expecting the worst, according to what they saw. Now, let's stop here for a second. What I always tell myself is, the way it looks in certain situations, so the Yetzirah says, think the worst. It's the worst that it could be. Some people have a tendency for that more than others. It's called a pessimist. So pessimist par excellence. And this here, though, what good could you think is going to come out of this? So they were all bitter, but what, they weren't worried about the wives so much? Oh, you ready? No, because that's also thinking the worst. They're worried about the sons and daughters. Shame katanim, says the Me'am Lois. They are minors. And you know what? They don't have the sophistication to know, ready, limsor atzma ma kedushas Hashem. The kids, they won't know that they should be killed rather than, let's say, do avodah zarah, which was something likely would happen. Lo ken anashim, shayimuf tof lehem, shayim tzru nafsha ma kedushas Hashem. It's absolutely incredible, this statement. Like, it does not mention the women. Because, like, the women, okay, I don't think we're ever going to see them again. They're probably dead. But when they died, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they should die rather than do avodah zarah. The kids, who knows what's going to happen? They might be forced to do a avodah zarah or something like that. This is the way that they're thinking. They're anticipating the worst outcome.
I think that the worst thing would be to lose your because a woman won't need to, they know that. But the children don't have that and have to make it to
law. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what this is, that's what it's the stars of that. That's correct. Right, absolutely. It, which shows you how hailing these people were. They are real. It's not just David, it's his men too. They really actually assumed if there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem opportunity here, the women will do it, and they actually were able to make peace with it to a degree, thinking the worst, which is really, but we're going to learn at the end, don't think the worst. There's no need to do that either. And then comes the beautiful pasuk, Vayischazek David Vashem Elokav. That's the famous favorite pasuk in this whole piece of the Chofetz Chaim. The Radak tells us something that is so noteworthy. It's the whole methodology of bitachon in a crisis. And this is something that I use this, once I learn this Radak, this is every day, this Radak. Because there are things that we face every day. Hopefully they're not too big. They're just inconveniences. Remember Shashiva, Rabbi Wein once said, he says, most of the things that we deal with that are challenging and that give us anguish, they're inconveniences. We try to frame it and look at it that way. That's where. And with patience, we learned about patience last time. Wait a few minutes. Wait a few hours. Wait a couple days. Sometimes it's a few months. And near to Hashem, everything's going to be back to how it's supposed to be. It will be. But how do I make it through now? Patience. That's how I make it through. It's the first meeting in Avos. We said it last time. So the Ravak says, listen to how we do bitachon, okay? Here's the bitachon handbook. Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokav. He strengthened himself. Vayosem tochal tobo. So first of all, he placed his hope and his trust in Hashem, consciously. It's almost like picking something up and say, this is where I have to trust in something. I have to hope for something. Where will I place my trust? In Hashem's lap. Okay, Hashem, I'm hoping for you. That's step one. It says in Tehillim Perek Nun Hey, put your burden on Hashem. Hashem's going to take care of you. That's step one. If I can do that, that's the first checkpoint. I get through that. Okay. Hashem, it's just you, because, you know, this is too big for me. I can't handle this. It is too big for me. And that, this could happen every day with certain things. Step two, I'm dissecting this radak, because the anatomy of this radak is something that nobody, I'm talking to myself primarily, nobody should ever, ever forget. Oh, here's my favorite part. V'isapak al hara. Now, what is that supposed to mean? What's the radak saying? What's v'isapak? Where does it say in Tanakh? V'isapak. Okay, quote it to me. You can quote it to me. We have a lot of scholarly people here. So two times come to my mind, two of them. Where? That's right. And there's one more. Believe it or not, there's another one. But that's right. It says by Yosef. What does it mean by Yosef when it says? What does that mean? What if he composed himself? Perfect. So it says, but here, what does the Radak mean? Be'isapat al-hara. He composed himself about the evil stuff, about the bad stuff, correct? So that means he put himself together. So first of all, okay, Hashem, I will acknowledge this is too big for me. That's step one. Step two is I'll compose myself. Great work. He composed himself, and he says, let me put myself, I'm in pieces. I'm literally in pieces. I'm jello. I'm like, you know, I'm done. Okay, so let's put everything back together now. I'll put myself back together. When I'm in a crisis, I'll put myself back together. That's step two. Who's the other one that says it about, by the way? It says it about Haman. That's interesting, isn't it? Because Haman, poor Haman. Poor guy. He was so angered because Mordechai wasn't giving him kavod. Now, what could be, why would it be that? It would be that way by Haman. It would say about Haman. I mean, there must be. Very interesting, isn't it? With him, it's what he, but his star, Nebuch, for him, is he doesn't get enough cover. That's his crisis. So the truth is that everybody in Tanakh is supposed to learn something from. Like from Haman, we learn how not to be. That's what we learn about. So one thing about Haman we can learn from that is that this is his crisis. That should never be anybody's crisis. I didn't get enough cover. And for that, just to show you the difference between them, Yosef composed himself because he has the most, you know, the deepest, most profound feelings for his brothers, the deepest emotions, the most intense situation, and that's very Halig, and he has to compose himself about that. The Haman has, he's not getting enough kavod. So, you know, like, don't do it. The Haman is a Malek. Remember, we started talking about a Malek. Don't have that as your crisis. But if someone does have that as his crisis, because we learned in the beginning, we also have a Haman in us. Everybody has a Malek. That's the Sahara. So we also have that. Yeah, so that's true. We might have that. We can also learn from Haman. If I think I didn't get enough kavod and it made me fall apart for a second, so don't be stupid. Put yourself back together. Get a life. You don't need that kind of kavod. Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling
maybe
confident that Haman's safe. Like, oh, that's Haman, so I don't.
Yeah, that's right. So then that's also something to learn from. We learn from Haman. Like Haman says, oh, right? Oh, who would you want to give kavod to? Not for me, right? So we learn not to do that. Haman is like, everything's perfect in my life except for one thing. This, you know, he doesn't bow down to me. So therefore, my life is in shambles because of that. So don't be like that. We learn how not to be. These are all the negative prototypes of Haman, correct? Now, that's the thing that he has to compose himself because of that. That's also a negative prototype. But at least we learn something there. Yeah, but we stop for a second and say, we also have the Esav inside us. We also have the Yetzirah inside of us. We also have the Leitz of Haman who makes light of the important things, and he goes ahead and accentuates and emphasizes the things that are not important. So that's also, but if it happens to us, we say, oh, wait a minute, that's like Haman. So that's why we have Tanakh to learn the negative prototypes also. But look what David did. So this is the Radak thing. He composed himself. Thanks for the vocabulary word. He composed himself on the bad that it happened. So that's another thing. You know, what do we do now? We have to put it on the back burner. So first we put our trust in Hashem. Okay, that's step one. Hashem, I can't do it without you. Step two is, what about all the other, what about? Well, what about all the stuff that's going on here? All the people are gone. We have no possession anymore. The place is burnt to the ground. What about all that? No. That stuff, it is stuff. Just put it aside. Like, put it in a locker. Maybe you'll deal with it later. Maybe you won't. But hold on. Put that away. That's why it's a pakalar off. And now the next thing. And then he made a conscious decision. We're going to go after them. We're not going to let this just go by. While they're crying, the Chafetz Chaim is going to tell us, he couldn't move. He was immobilized by his grief. So were his men. They couldn't do anything. But then he said, wait, let's go. Forward march. We're going to go after these guys. And next, the Amar Lev Yasser Hagisha Ephod. Step four, he said to Yasser, bring the Ephod with the Urim V'Tumim. We need to consult Hashem to get an endorsement on the next step, that we should go and chase them. We need to get a Haskam. Very interesting thing the Radak says. Did you notice the order of the last two, though? He said to chase after them and then said to bring the ephod. Does that bother anybody? The pasuk seems to say, bring the, it does not say that he said he's going to chase after them and then ask for the ephod, to ask the Urim and Thummim what to do. He said, right after he got finished, he said, bring the ephod. Where did Radak get it from? Why is Radak saying such a thing, that he decided to chase them and then he asked for the Urim and Thummim? It says he asked for the Urim and Thummim and that's what told him to chase them. Where did Radak get this from? Elamai must be a huge lesson. He can't even get the Urim V'Tumim to ask whether he should chase them if he doesn't decide that he's going to do something. Meaning we have to decide we're going to do something first. I am going to do something. I'm going to take action. I'm going to go forward. And I'm going to make something of this problem. I'm going to get out of this problem the best that I can, with the bitachon as the prerequisite. And I'm going to move forward. And now I'm going to make sure from the Ribbono Shel Olam that this is the right thing to do. So he says, bring the ephod and let's check that it's the right thing to do. So the order, though, the Chafetz Chaim, he zeroes in on the order in the Sefer Machon Yisrael that he did this in. It's very interesting. By Yitzchazik Dovad Bashem Elokav, when he strengthened himself, where does the Radak get it from that he decided to chase them? By Yitzchazik Dovad Bashem Elokav. Because if he put himself together, that means he decided that he's going to move forward with his crisis and he's going to try to extricate himself and wiggle out of it. That's what it means when he strengthened himself. So in order for us to get out of it, we have to strengthen ourselves. And then we can, then we go to divine intervention. Ribbono Shalom, help me. You know, I'm going to do this. Please help me. I want to make sure that for David, he asks, it's the right thing. He gets the signal from Rambam to him. He's like, he's a melech. But for us, we have our, we ask Hashem, please help me. We need all these ingredients. So we're just going to reiterate these four ingredients in order because they're so crucial. Oh, yes, thank you. That's right. That's very important insight there. We need to have, or if we don't have the Das Torah with us, we have to ask Das Torah, especially when we have a big, big decision to make. And Rabbi Kibbutz of Holy Bracha always said the mistake that people make, they don't ask a Shaila. They don't ask a Shaila. They have to ask a Shaila. And this is something that David did, especially something big like this. Now, he has to ask because it is a little bit risky to go after whatever band they are, Amaleki gang, whatever they are. You don't know if it's Amaleki, whoever they are. And with this, this is it's almost like a national decision for him being the upcoming king. Or, you know, he is the king, actually. So with all this, actually, he's the upcoming king still at this point. Developmental stages, we should say. So to reiterate the four steps, and this is the most crucial thing we're going to take with us, and I just want to say that the next time we get together, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to continue. And we're going to really analyze Vayitzchazek David Bashem Elokav, because that's the nucleus of this entire discussion of the chapter about Bitachon that the Chafetz Chaim tells the soldiers on the battlefield. You want to come home in one piece. You want to come home. You want to walk between the bullets. Vayitzchazek David Bashem Elokav. That's the way that you make it through. That's how we persevere. So just to look at the four steps of the Radak, a beautiful piece of Radak here, and he tells us that first, Yosem Tochal Tabo, a person has to place the trust in Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't do it without you. I'm stuck. I do not know how I'm going to make it through this. That's number one. Number two, Hisapak Al Hara'ah, to pull myself together. If I don't pull myself together, I'm a wreck. I'm in pieces. I won't be able to do anything if I'm in pieces. That's what I have to do for myself. I'm also doing myself a favor. It's a Tzelem Elokim. So he goes ahead and he composes himself. That means, yes, again, the Eitz Hara keeps saying, but what about this? But what about this? What about tomorrow? What about yesterday? What about this terrible crisis? What about? The answer is, Hisapak al Ra. Goodbye. Put that away somewhere right now. That's not for now. Then, conscious decision to move forward with full force to mitigate the crisis. And after all that, Hagisha ha'efod. Please bring close to the Urim V'Tumim. Ask Hashem for help. Ask Shilas. Let's look in Halacha Sfarim. Let's look in the Shilas and Shivas. Let's make sure that this is agreed upon and it's Oiskehalten in Halacha and that we're going to be successful with Hashem's help. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue next time. We're going to see how the Chafetz Chaim himself looks at this pasuk, Vayitzchazek David Hashem Elokav. And we're also going to look further in the story, several more psukim, just to get the full scope of it. So I want to thank so much. I would like to thank Rabbi Goldschmidt for allowing us to use the Shari Torah. Wonderfully cool room here, Baruch Hashem, for being so open and welcoming to us. And thank you so much, everybody, for coming. And it was just a zechus to learn with you. Mirtz Hashem, hopefully we'll see you next time as well. Thank you very much.